Wisconsin Eye coverage of Tuesday's election continues from the State Senate parlor. We're interviewing Assembly Democratic Leader Peter Barca. Peter, thanks for stopping in.
Good to be with you, Steve.
Congratulations. You were reelected yesterday.
I was. Not a good night for Democrats, so generally, obviously, both here in Wisconsin and across the nation. It was just a very difficult night.
Was it a GOP wave nationally?
Well, there's no question that there was a GOP wave nationally, and I'm sure that played a part. But as assembly races go specifically, the one thing that strikes me that was so at play, that played such a huge role, was the independent expenditures that came in.
I was going to ask you
at
about
the end
that.
Of the race.
You've been reading my notes. Go ahead.
You know, roughly $150,000 were spent in two of the key races that potentially you'll have a recount in. And there was more than that spent in some races and about the same in a number of other races. It's just an enormous amount of money. Primarily, though, the American Federation for Children, who is working overtime to have voucher schools in every community in our state, never once in all of this money they spent even mentioned the unaccountable voucher issue. Instead, they used all this money to either attack our candidates, in some cases with complete lies and fabrications, or to prop up the Republican candidates. So it's just remarkable to me, with all the spending that went on, that they would not use that as an opportunity to try and build public support for their only agenda item, which is to have voucher schools and to privatize our public schools.
Peter, you talk about $150,000. Are you talking about in District 85, which is Mandy Wright versus Mr. Heaton, and in District 51, which is Todd Novak versus Mr. Cates?
Right, that we know in a minimum that there was roughly $50,000 spent, and that's what we know of. Some of it is very difficult to track.
But you've been in the assembly. Your first election was in 1980 what?
1984.
So somebody with your experience who's watched these changes for a few decades, didn't you know this was coming, and didn't you have a plan B to answer it, sir, in these two key districts?
Well, of course we knew it was coming, and in fact our candidates in both of these districts campaigned against the voucher issues. And of course we suspected there would be negative ads. But it's tough to overcome when you're spending $80,000 or $90,000 and your opponent's spending roughly that, but then all of a sudden you have an avalanche of independent expenditures in the neighborhood of $150,000 at a minimum. There's no money truck running around for Democrats to have those type of resources, unfortunately.
Do you think, Peter, the pro-voucher groups are responsible for the defeat of Representative Wright and the recount against... But that Mr. Cates is now lagging?
Well, I mean, obviously, given the enormous amount of money they spent, it certainly played a very vital role.
Okay. Then let me ask you, what did two of your fellow Democrats, Amy Sue and Steve Smith, do wrong over the... What votes put them at risk over the last session? Excuse me.
Well, I don't know that there was really any one vote that put them at risk. Obviously, both of them represented Republican-leaning districts. They're tough districts for Democrats. In both cases, they outperformed, you know, our gubernatorial candidate. But, you know, the tidal wave was, you know, extremely high. And they, of course, had similar types of independent expenditures against them as well.
Speaker Voss, when we just interviewed him, say this, the growing number of members of his party in the assembly, they may go to 61 or 63, pending the two recounts, is a vindication of the policies of the last 2 and 4 years. I want to give you a chance to respond.
Well, they did win. Obviously, they're going to push their agenda. I hope they stick to the things they ran on. I was rather surprised to see the speaker's agenda that he outlined for the press just an hour or two ago, because I crisscrossed the state. I campaigned in a large number of districts in every corner of the state, and I talked to every one of our candidates who were campaigning aggressively. And these issues of GAB reform, reforming the John Doe process, Common Core, it didn't come up. These are not the priorities of the people of Wisconsin. The issues that came up when our candidates were out there and I were out campaigning for them were, you know, things like jobs, job training, making sure the middle class can be able to afford to support their families in dignity, such as increasing the minimum wage or student debt reform, things of that sort came up regularly. These type of issues just didn't come up at all. So it's surprising that there's such a prominent part of what the agenda is going forward.
Mary Burke and Democratic leaders like you said issue number one may be the governor's failure to create the 250,000 new private sector jobs. Did voters on Tuesday just not care about the fact that the governor missed it, creating only about 110, 111? Did you guys missed calculate that as an issue?
Well, apparently the public was okay with that. It's surprising to me because he did make it the centerpiece of his campaign, but at the end of the day, he won despite the fact that he fell far short of that goal. So apparently, while the public clearly still cares about jobs a great deal, I think they must have felt he was trying hard enough to try and get us in that direction.
Tuesday's election results, is that the end of the Act 10 debate?
Well, I don't know that issue will not come back up again, but clearly the governor won, and I'm sure he's not going to allow any changes whatsoever. If anything, they might go further, which I certainly hope they do not. But, you know, I don't expect that in the next 2 years there's going to be any traction whatsoever on that issue.
As a leader of your party, what's going to be your recommendation and how your party identifies some issues and build back to eventually undo some of the losses yesterday, sir? Mm-hmm.
Well, obviously, that's what the next few weeks and months ahead will bring us. We have to sit down and analyze what issues perhaps work well for them and what issues were not as effective for us, and we'll be studying that very carefully.
How do you feel about the campaign run by Mary Burke and Susan Happ? Were they the best possible candidates? Could both of them have won? Excuse me.
Well, it's easy to play Monday morning quarterback. They both ran aggressive campaigns. They worked hard. They did their best to articulate the message, and I think the national tidal wave was just too much for them to overcome.
Do you see any seeds of hope in yesterday's results for your party?
Well, yesterday was just a tough day all the way around. I mean, we've had tough days like this back in 2010, and of course, 2 years later, the president came back and won in Wisconsin, and Tammy Baldwin seized the U.S. Senate seat. So, midterm elections are always difficult for Democrats to get our votes out, and especially when you have a president of your party, going into the end of their second term, pretty tough sailing. So there'll be a presidential election 2 years from now. I expect that we'll have Hillary Clinton as our nominee or somebody equally effective, and I think it's a whole new ballgame. I expect we'll get out far more voters, and I think we'll have a much better result than we had last night.
You and I heard that the president's approval rating is about 44%. Was he a liability to some of your Assembly Democratic candidates, sir?
Well, I don't know that the president personally was a liability by any stretch of the imagination, but obviously the headwinds that were faced by the public overall was just difficult. I mean, obviously we lost the U.S. Senate. The Republicans gained, I think, their biggest majority since World War II in the U.S. House of Representatives. So just a tough tidal wave.
Senator Mark Udall in Colorado lost. His campaign chose not to have the president come in. Was it a mistake for Mary Burke to have President Obama come into Milwaukee and the First Lady come in twice?
No, I don't think so at all. I think when you have a president of your party, it's always helpful to have a president come in. He certainly energized our base. She probably did far better in Milwaukee because of the president's visit and the First Lady's visit. And so I think she probably made the right judgment there.
With Assembly GOPers having one or two, three or more, do you expect the same lack of the same partisan tone in the next session, Peter?
Well, I hope not. We did make some gains in that front in the last session in the Assembly. There was much more comedy than we had clearly during the whole Act 10 debates that we went through. And I would hope we could move even further in the direction of civil dialogue, as you're so accustomed to.
Yes, thank you. What about changing the campaign finance rules? There doesn't seem to be any rules over how much people can give, correct?
Right. I mean, we are moving in this post-Citizens United world. The Republicans have benefited mightily. So obviously, they're not going to change these rules without coming kicking and screaming. So it's really in the public's hands. Unless the public rises up and recognizes what a danger to democracy it is to have unlimited giving and to have a lack of transparency of who's giving money in the case of these independent expenditures, you'll never see a change because it's too much in the Republicans' benefit to continue this process.
How do leaders like you who didn't have a good election, do you plan to meet with Tammy Baldwin, maybe Mary Burke, Susan Happ, Senator Larson, or whoever is the next Senate Democratic mm-hmm. leader, to talk about lessons learned and how to build a positive message for the next 2 and 4 years?
Oh, absolutely. No, there's no question about it. It's very important. Senator Baldwin's made herself extremely available. She's was at a number of events with us. We've had dinner together, and I can't say enough positive things about her active involvement in the campaign process. And she's had her pollster available to our disposal. We'll certainly be talking actively with her and our congressional delegation. And certainly we're going to want to have a recap with Mary Burke and Susan Happ as well.
If Act 10 was the governor's main goal for the first session, what are you afraid of he might reach for a second overriding goal, especially if he's interested in running for the president in a second term?
Well, obviously right to work is the issue that I think worries most people. In Michigan, they pushed it through in short order, and we know that the governor has indicated it's not his priority, but I know the speaker's indicated he's gonna have a much more conservative caucus. There's no doubt in my mind that he'll have members that will be pushing it aggressively, and so that'll worry us enormously. Also, the degree to which they open up vouchers statewide without adding accountability concerns us enormously, because of the fact that we know public school funding is suffering right now. It's affected course offerings. It's of course affected class sizes, and so that's going to be another issue that's going to concern us.
When you woke up yesterday, did you think your party might gain one or two seats in the assembly, sir?
Well, you're always hopeful, obviously. I mean, the last Marquette poll naturally worried me. They've been pretty close to being right on target, and so going into it, I was not nearly as hopeful as I had been a week earlier when it showed the governor's race tied. We had some great candidates running, and they worked extremely hard. But those national headwinds combined with the incredible amount of money being spent by these independent expenditure groups, especially when they're not even telling you what their real objective is, that's extremely troubling. And that should trouble every citizen in Wisconsin.
Do voters care about the obscene amounts of money now being spent by both sides, Peter?
I think they do care. I think it worries them, but obviously, it doesn't rise to the level where they're going to vote based upon that issue quite yet. Now, I'm hoping that as we move forward and people begin to see the polarization that comes from having the type of redistricting that we have and through having the kind of spending that's reaching obscene levels and the lack of transparency that goes along with it, I'm hoping it'll rise higher in people's consciousness and their concern.
When we interviewed Tom Loftus, he said that Mary Burke laid the groundwork to run again in 4 years. Possible?
Oh, I have no idea. I'm sure she, probably woke up this morning and that was the last thing on her mind
right now.
So I would think after you go through a brutal campaign like that, you want to just regroup and analyze where you're at, and I'm sure that she might give some thought to that in the months ahead, but I doubt that she's thinking about it today.
It's obvious that you're disappointed. Do you want to stay as the Assembly Dem leader?
Well, I want to do what's best for our party and our caucus, and we're meeting with people and analyzing what will be the best steps to move forward.
WisPolitics is reporting that Representative Goyke might challenge you. Do you expect to be challenged, sir?
You never know about these things. These are internal discussions that people have, and they think through that, and we'll analyze it as it comes forward.
And you Democrats are going to organize when, sir?
We organize next Tuesday.
Okay. So any parting thoughts on yesterday and where your party goes from here?
No, just a tough, tough day. I expect 2 years from now we're going to have a much better day when you get into the presidential election year. But obviously in the interim, we have a lot of hard work to do.
Assembly Democratic Leader Peter Barca, in the wake of a pretty tough day, I want to thank you for coming and talking to Wisconsin.
Thank you, Steve.
Thanks, Peter.